You're listening to the Embracing Grief podcast.
We're your hosts, Trish and Lori, two women on a journey of life after the passing of our spouses.
Our conversations are sparked by experiences and how we are creating the next chapters of our lives with our children, with our careers, and with our grief.
We are sharing real life situations and actions to keep moving forward with honor, belief, and connection to create a sense of community.
You are not alone. We are so grateful you're here. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today? I'm good. Actually, one of the things I want to do this weekend was go to the beach. And so Friday morning, we left here about 11 and we drove to the ocean. There's a couple beaches near us that are on the river, but we drove to the ocean. It was amazing. The weather was beautiful because it wasn't like super, super hot. There was a nice breeze on the water and the boys brought their bodyboards and there was a lot of ships going by. So nice waves. And then later on in the day, there were jellyfish that came in and the boys just wanted to catch the jellyfish. And I had to squash all of the, we need to go. Don't touch them. You're going to get stung. I really had to allow them to be curious, allow them to explore. They loved it. They thought it was so cool. I mean, we had conversations about, you know, you don't want to let them sting you. You have to be careful. There were other people, other families who were also catching jellyfish. So the boys were asking them questions and kind of watching what they were doing and really paying attention. But it was really kind of fun to watch them. And in my head, like I could hear my husband be like, well, it'll only happen once. They'll only get stung once.
Yep.
You know, it's okay. They can do this. Look at all of the kids that are their age, catching the jellyfish, putting them on the beach. It's going to be fine. And it turns out it was. They were probably there 45 minutes just catching jellyfish and letting them go.
Yeah.
And they didn't get stung and they thought it was so cool. And when at the end of the day, when we were doing our gratitude work, that's what they wanted to talk about. I'm really thankful we got to catch jellyfish today because that was really fun and something I hadn't done before.
That is so fun. Can you bring me on, Brent? Sorry, I got a slight issue here with it, but went off. Came in my house. You guys do the gratitude every day?
I finally started consistently writing, well, since our last podcast, writing down three things at night in the three-line gratitude journal. And a lot of times when I'm doing that, that's snuggle time with the boys. And so I've just been asking them, you know, what's one thing that you were really grateful for that happened today or that you thought was really special that happened today? And it's just been kind of fun.
And are you incorporating their things and with your?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. I liked it. I do. I think I shared that with you. I do my gratitude journal every night. And what I've been doing more recently, I actually lay on the floor while I'm doing this right before I go to bed because I have to stretch because of my hip. And so I have to lay in a certain way to stretch it out. And so I just lay there and usually write in my journal while I'm stretching. And so it kind of serves two purposes. And I'm always glad I do it. I'm always glad I write my journal. It just grounds me in the good things that happen every day that sometimes we take for granted. If we didn't write them down, we would be like, and they're the small things. They're usually like the really, really, really small things that you enjoy. So I love that. I love that you guys went to the beach Yeah, because it's raining here.
No, we have beautiful weather. I've been the last couple of days also getting up and trying to get out the door before it gets ridiculously hot. And I've just been walking around our cul-de-sac and then down to the end of our street and back. So the boys, if they needed something, they could see me and yell to me. Because one of the excuses that I've had is, well, I can't go walking because the boys are home. Yeah. And if I take the boys on the walk, I'm not really getting what I need from the walk. Right. So it just dawned on me a couple of days ago, well, that's probably an excuse. And how can I, as opposed to what's preventing me?
Yeah.
But it's funny because I don't know if it's funny, but one of the things that I had a lot of gratitude for was the fact that I'm able to do that because I know that you've had so much pain walking. So I'm just like, it makes me more grateful, I think, knowing that like you're struggling a little bit.
Yeah. So I know you and I were kind of talking about this before we started recording, and I was just sharing with you some of my struggles. So I'm in my early 50s and I've been very preventative, proactive about my health and about eating and about, I've always been athletic and exercised, and I've ran half marathons and done a lot of kickboxing and just always athletic in high school. And so about COVID, I think beginning of COVID, I thought it just twisted weird and it was something in my back. And then so I started on a journey of, I was still walking a lot. Like I probably, when COVID first hit, I probably walked maybe 6 miles a day, whether it was in my neighborhood or parks, just because I wanted to be active. Well, then toward the end of 2020, my back, I thought it was my back, started bothering me a little bit more. So then I pursued like acupuncture, massage. And this year was really more like physical therapy. Well, then in May, I went to a orthopedic person because I was having more and more pain. And they said, well, you need a total hip replacement. And I was like, is this a joke? It's just arthritis. Go on. And isn't there something you can do? Can't you like squirt something in there? Can't you give me something to help it? Because I've always been very proactive and preventative. And what are you saying? So I was in complete denial. And especially since we were going on a trip to Alaska, I just didn't want that happening, to have a hip replacement. And well, anyway, it's scheduled. So it's in the middle of October. And I specifically scheduled it in October because that's one of my favorite months, because it's fall and it's pretty. And I was hoping that I could do some walking outside and enjoy the fall weather as I recover. Plus, it's my husband's birthday month. And so I just thought it might be, you know, a way to make another transition before I go into the November month, which is the month when I lost him. And so I'll be turning 54, which is the year he passed when he was 54 years old. So that's also, there's a lot of emotion around it. But it's also, it's weird. They explained it to people. It's almost like going through that grief cycle with this hip thing, because it was complete shock. And then it was denial. And then it was anger. And then it's acceptance, that I just have to have it done because it's just so painful that I'm making choices about my life based on my hip. Where to walk, where to go, who to hang out with, because what, you know, what activities to do, because it's painful. So I think in the past I've heard many people say that if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. I'm a big believer in that. And that's why I was always so preventative and proactive. But this is yet another lesson, I think, that's being shown to me, of it's given to me to learn something. but it's really, I can see how people go through different mental phases when they are injured. And, you know, whether it's somebody that had a bad car accident or somebody that was just injured somehow, and because your body, and then it seems like it brings, when you have stuff like this, it brings up a lot of other past emotions too.
Well, it's a loss.
Yeah.
You've lost ability. And in your case, you know, being super active and running and walking, it was part of your identity. So
right.
There is a great deal of loss. It's also interesting to me that it's hips, because our hips store a lot of emotional trauma and stress, which is why, you know, somatic yoga and hip openers are recommended, you know, through the grief process. So yeah. It's interesting that it's your hips in particular that are giving you a hard time.
Well, and it's also interesting because I don't know if I've ever said this. I think I have on our podcast, where it's when I first lost my husband, my dad's, we just, you know, said to me, we just got to get you through this first year. And I remember very specifically saying, you got to get me through year six. And that was just random. But it probably not so random, right? Because this is the year six, going on seven. So anyway, it's, yeah, you know, it's probably all the, and when I've gone to Reiki therapy and things like that, they have said that my heart is very shut down. And yeah, so this is still 7 years later. So yeah, I think it's just that you have to just keep working through the grief, and it stores itself in so many places.
That's why a lot of what we talk about is allowing the emotions to move through you, because you keep pushing them down, doesn't mean they're gone. In fact, usually our body just absorbs them and hangs on to them, and there's other health issues. I know in Qigong, the lungs, the chest is where grief is stored. Talked about this. It's like exhaling. You can't exhale. And there's some connection between lung issues, pneumonia, bronchitis, lung cancer, breast cancer, connected to grief, which is fascinating to me. And in that, you know, the body just kind of takes things on in that way.
It's documented in the gal, Louise Hayes, right? Louise Hayes is the book on Heal Your Body. And so I've read her book, and, you know, I've even gone back. It's funny you say that, because I was thinking this weekend I might go back and reread that. And I've created like a Google document for books and Netflix and things like that, that maybe I'll be able to read or listen to while I'm healing, because it was so cute. My son's 15. So we were having dinner on Friday night, and I was like wobbling around my kitchen, like literally holding onto the counter. And he was like, are you going to be okay? And I'm like, yeah, I should be fine. He goes, are you scared? And I'm like, yeah, I'm very scared. I said, I've never had surgeries before. I said, but he's like, well, who's going to take care of us? And I said, well, you know, grandpa, and then I have a friend, and then my mom. And I said, so they're going to help us. And then he's like, well, I can take care of the dog and the cats, mom. And, you know, so I think it's just, there's just a lot of emotions around. Like when you lose somebody, you have to become so independent. Or I became even more independent. I was very independent to begin with, but I became even more independent and just making decisions and doing things on our own. So it's weird in a way. It feels like I'm kind of going backwards a little bit, because I'm having to ask people for help, and I'm having to get people to help us. And that's just very humbling for me, because I'm going to do it by myself. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take care of it. I can handle this. And so it's having the humility to realize that other people, like my husband used to always say, he used to say, you know, God gave you two hands, one to give and one to receive. Sometimes you just need to receive. And you also, I've had to learn like more of my limitations. A lot of times I can just push through things, but on some of this stuff, it's very physical. I mean, you can't, it's like yard work. I just want to go out and pull out plants or weeds or whatever. And I just have to put it into different segments. Like I'll do that. I tell myself now, I'll do that for an hour, or I'll do that for a little bit of time, and then I'll come back and I'll do it again the next day, or I'll do it next weekend. Or you know, it's just realizing you can still do it, but you have to work within smaller segments of what your body can handle. And that's just a very different mindset for me.
I heard you say it feels like moving backwards, yeah. But one could argue that it's really moving forward.
Right.
In allowing yourself to receive help and to ask for help and not push through, but to do little by little.
Uh-huh. At first, when I had, they told me that, you know, so a couple things went through my mind. At first, I was like, wow, I felt so defeated and like my body betrayed me. Right? What the hell? I'm so proactive, so preventative. What the heck happened? But then I work in oncology. And I thought, I mean, this is at least fixable. There's a lot of people that get these diagnoses for cancer, and they are on therapies for years and living a horrible quality of life for years in hopes of recovering. And some do and some don't. And so I think if there's an opportunity for me to enjoy the journey and enjoy, figure out what I'm going to get from it and heal and get stronger, then that's what I'm trying to repackage it in my brain. What is this doing for me? How is this teaching me? How am I going to relate to people differently? How might I see somebody that is in the parking lot at a grocery store or something and they're hobbling along? Maybe I'll have more patience for them or be able to help them. Or, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to put it in a different mindset.
Yeah, I know that our loss, when I say our, I'm really referring to my sister and myself. Our stepdad just had to have surgery on his wrist. And my sister and I just have a different perception of those things, like surgery, because we really made sure that, you know, he and my mom had, you know, what do you need? Do you need someone to take you? Do you need someone to be there when you get home? Do you want someone to wait with you or not? What do you need? But also to say, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
You matter to me. Because, you know, even the smallest surgery comes with risk. I mean, we take risk every day. So we just have a different perception of, we want to make sure if you're going to be doing something like that, we get to say, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and it goes back to, you know, trying not to live with regret, trying to take advantage of opportunities and to see that as an opportunity, as opposed to something, you know, it's a fear.
Yeah. I think it's easy to let the fear run, to run you. And I can go down that path pretty easily, but I'm just choosing that's not what I want to do. And mostly because I don't want that to overtake me, because I feel like I have so much more to do and I have so much more to give that I don't want that to limit me. And so sometimes you have to take these steps and see, I keep saying, keep your eye on the prize, keep your eye on the prize, keep your eye on the prize, because springtime and next year, I'll be in a good place and, you know, there won't be as much pain and all that. So, but it's that manifestation. So I keep thinking, I'm manifesting what I want, I'm manifesting where I'm going to be, I'm manifesting how I want to think versus, oh no, oh no, oh no, right? So it's been a process. And even like you and I were talking this morning, I'm so used to just doing everything. I mean, we're trying to schedule our podcast. And I'm just like, I'm not going to be able to do it that weekend because I'm just going to have had surgery. So I'm sorry about that. And I know it's not something that I need to necessarily apologize for, but it's just my way of, that's just not normally who I am. I wouldn't not participate or wouldn't not show up. It's just, it's kind of in the fabric of who I am. If I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And so this is just going to be a different version. I'm going to be like a bionic woman.
You are. I also think you're used to being the person who kind of rallies the people together.
Yeah.
To do things.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of spearhead activities and let's do this.
Right. Right. And so I'm just got to let some of that go. And hope, you know, I think I've said to you before, one of my big prayers that I've always had after my husband's passed is I wanted to create more patience and I wanted to create more humor. And so the patience is coming for obvious many, many things that have caused me to have to learn more patience, which is something I wanted, but I kind of just wanted to, like a fairy, to sprinkle dust on me and have more patience, but it doesn't work that way. And then the stuff with humor, I think it's just about being able to laugh at yourself and laugh at probably goofy stuff that I'm sure is going to happen, that in the moment it's going to not be very fun or funny, but maybe it will be.
So are you walking with a cane?
I did this yesterday at the farmer's market. I bought this cane. And there's a guy at the farmer's market that is like he's like a black Einstein. So he's got the crazy white hair sticks up and he's just the coolest dude. And he gets all this wood from the Mississippi River that's given to him and he carves out all these sticks. Some of them he paints, some of he just varnishes and carves things into them. So I was with my sister at the farmer's market yesterday and I go, you know what? I'm going to buy a cane. And I go, and I can't even believe I'm saying this. And I said, because that is my vainness completely having to go out the window 100% because I have a freaking cane. But it's a cool one. It's got lots of flowers on it. It's painted and it's, you know, like, so I was like, well, if I guess I have to have one, I'll just use that one. Right. But yeah, so that's been that was just funny. I can't even believe I just went ahead and did it. I just bought it. I'm like, yeah, this is good height. It's right here. It's stable. It makes me feel better. So I'm like wobbling around the farmer's market with this cane. Oh my gosh. So yeah, yet another. Now I'll just have to say to my son, now you watch out. If you don't do what you're supposed to, I'm going to whack you with this cane.
What amazes me about that is it's always been on my list of things to buy, like a walking stick, because we do a lot of hiking.
Oh, yeah.
My kids are always pulling a stick out of the woods to use as a walking stick. And you're talking about like vanity and how it's aging. And I'm like, that's functional. Like, I want one, especially from this guy at the farmer's market who gets the wood from. I'm like, sign me up. I want one. So I think it's all about you want one when you want one. You don't want one when you have to have one. Like I did the same thing. Our boys would be in the woods and we'd grab sticks and I would grab them all the time. And we did this. We're walkers. We're hikers. This is what we do. But then there's a whole different side to that when you have to have it. Because we've had hiking, the metal hiking, walking sticks, and then we've had the other ones. Yeah. We've had some that have the morel mushrooms carved on the top. And Oh, you look at that, and then you can find the morel mushrooms. And so, yeah, that's cool. That is cool when it's cool. It's just not so cool when you got to have it.
Well, I'm glad that you picked something stylish that's going to make you feel, that's going to make you feel it's more upbeat. It's more your personality as opposed to just like the black cane, you get it Rite Aid.
Right. Exactly. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Because the other piece I have in it is because it's temporary.
That's temporary. True. It is temporary.
Temporary. So that's what I got.
So are you going to the surgeries, I don't want to freak you out, but it's not that far away.
Yeah, it's like right the way.
So are you planning to do anything like leading up to your surgery, like before your surgery? Are you doing anything with your son? How's that for you?
You mean like doing special activities or?
Yeah, just doing something, marking the occasion or.
The only thing that I've been doing so far is because it was overwhelming of thinking of all the things I need to do. So I did start a Google Doc of all the stuff that I need to either buy or organize to get our home ready. And then I'm making lists of like little projects that I need to get it done before it happens, just so in case something does happen, I'm prepared. I haven't really, the only thing that I was trying to schedule for my son to do is we have a middle son and he's in Chicago and they want to go to a game together. So I think I'm going to get that scheduled in either late October or the beginning of November, just so it's a distraction for him. Because we just came back from Alaska, so I'm not really scheduling anything like for us. Plus, he's starting to get more social. So
I love that.
Yeah. So 2 weekends ago, they went to a football game and they hung out. And then this weekend, they just hung out like on Friday independently on their Xboxes. And then on Saturday, they all decided they were going to go work out at the gym together, 5 of them. And then they went bowling. And so things are evolving and changing.
Did you manifest a bunch of that for him?
I've been asking for a lot of that. Yeah. But we also have the other stuff that I've got to work through prior to the surgery, because some of the other school stuff isn't that great, but I got to get a handle on that, or he's got to get a handle on that.
Yeah. Celebrate successes as much as the other stuff. So are you like going to go out to dinner or something before the surgery?
I don't know.
I haven't got there. It's a week before. You mean like the night before?
Do something kind of happy around the occasion, It's kind of a serious, there's going to be recovery time. So
I don't know. We might go to a movie or maybe we'll go to have dinner or something. We usually go to dinner. That's the thing. We usually go to dinner on Friday nights together and we're not going to be able to do that for a little bit. So I don't know. I haven't really got there yet, but I like the idea just to, I don't know what. Celebrate it or enjoy it or
it's just very different. I have all the stuff that I think I want to try to get done or accomplished before, and my body's just not letting me. So some of it, you know, you think, oh, I'm gonna get this done, I'm gonna get that done, I'm gonna get this done before this happens. And when your body's in a different place, it just is, you don't, sometimes don't feel like it. And I think when we talk about grief, I mean, that's kind of some of the stuff that we've had to push through, is sometimes you just don't feel like it, but you have to somehow best that feeling. You got to say, how do I want to feel? Where do I want to feel? And so I think some of that is, it's a good question you asked me. I don't even know if my brain is there yet on that, because it's a little over a month away. So I'm trying to, I think, figure out logistics right now still.
As you're talking, it kind of sounds like your mind and your body are in two different places.
Yeah, they are, but a bit. Like, my body is, no, this needs to happen like today. But my mind and my heart are like, I don't want to. I'm fearful, so I don't want to. I'd say my heart is fearful. My mind is still processing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's just kind of a grief feeling in general. They're not always in the same place.
Yeah, well, and trying to, I think it's part of acceptance too.
Yeah.
Like being aware of what you can accomplish as opposed to all the things you can't accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
What can I, how can I?
Yeah.
As opposed to all the things that are left undone.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, but it's definitely a head game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a head game. And what are you going to choose? Do you want to choose what you can do, or are you going to choose what you can't do? And there was something I just read, or it was either a podcast or it was a reel on Facebook or something. And it was how, you know, some people have come back from war, or, and they don't have a leg, or they don't have an arm. And so they have to choose what can they do, versus like, I don't have this leg anymore, so I can't. So I think, I mean, that sounds so dramatic, but it's kind of, you just have to figure out how you are going to do it.
Well, I think that's a great journal prompt. What can I, how can I?
Yeah. In your challenging times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What can I, how can I? And see those as win.
Yeah. Yeah.
And see that as a win. See those as wins, as opposed to looking at all the things that aren't or can't be possible.
Yeah, for me, I think the biggest part of this is not compartmentalizing it, but breaking it down into small parts. And so that's the reason I started the Google Doc, is because I kind of had all this just like swirling in my head, like, oh my gosh, I have all this. And so I started thinking, okay, but what if you just put a big list down and then you just checking off that list, and bit by bit, this big thing will become more manageable and not as fearful. And so that's kind of my way, but that's kind of my way of handling a lot of things, is that it seems so big. And then if you can just break it down into really small parts and be successful at the small parts. And I think that's what I'm gonna have to do with my body, is just same thing. It's just like the progress will be that I can walk with a walker. And then the progress will be that I can walk without it. And then the progress will be that I'll be able to do steps. And then, you know, I mean, I think it's really celebrating the small moves forward versus what I can't do, but versus the small changes to move forward. So, and I think that's a lot of how we've had to live our lives, for you and I, to move forward with a lot of things. It's like, okay, I'm going to make this choice to move. Okay, now I'm going to make this choice to work on my kids and me. Now I'm going to work on this choice of working on my career and how I'm going to become happy. And you kind of have to a lot of it's all going on at the same time, but at certain times you have to focus on different parts. And so, you know, I mean, yeah. So I think it's me breaking it down and tackling a piece at a time. Does that mean I'm not scared? No, it means I'm really scared, but it's that whole thing. I'm scared, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Well, I mean, that's what being brave is.
Yeah, it is.
You actually just described a teaching strategy. A lot of times when there's a major project, or it can be as simple as just even, you know, a test or a worksheet for students who get really overwhelmed, or especially students with trauma, breaking it down and not giving them the whole thing at once makes it more manageable. You know, you take a 50 question test, can just be like, I can't do that. Well, can you do 3 questions? Well, yeah. So, all right, we're going to do this 3 questions at a time. It's the same idea, same concept. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think we've had a lot of practice at it.
I mean, I do that with laundry almost every day.
I'll just get it started. Okay. Then I'll just move it to the dryer. Then I'll just fold that one load of clothes.
What I do is I'm like, there's all this laundry. I'm never going to get it all done. What do I need first? Is my immediate use going to be towels or socks? And that is what I will focus on right now.
I'm going to get that done. And then once I get that done, it is all about just getting started.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is going to be a little bit of a journey for me, and it's almost embarrassing to talk about it because I mean, even when I got married, I did not want to walk down the aisle. I don't want people staring at me. I don't want people looking at me. I'm not an attention seeker. And so I feel like this draws a lot of attention to me by like wobbling or having a cane, or, you know, somebody asked me yesterday at a brunch, they're like, how you doing? I'm like, fantastic. and the whole time just like going up to the house carrying my cinnamon rolls, and I'm thinking, where can I park that's gonna be easy for me to walk, that I don't have minimal steps, and I'm gonna carry this, and it's going to hurt the whole time walking to the door. But, you know, as soon as I get there, I know I can put this down, and or I'll be able to sit somewhere in a corner and just park myself and be okay. And that's just what I did, because I'm not going to not enjoy life because I've got this scenario. I'm just going to kind of grow with it and eventually laugh about it. So
I have 2 immediate questions. One, when you say you made cinnamon rolls to take to this thing, is that like from a can, you know, those like cardboard cans, or did you, are these like, did the dough rise and, you know, from scratch? So when you say cinnamon rolls, talk to me about that, first of all.
So it's kind of a hack. And so if you've ever heard of this stuff called Pampered Chef, so years ago when they used to do all the parties, I don't even know if they do these parties anymore. Everything's just ordered online. So at Pampered Chef, they used to have this, it was like a dish. It's like one of those stone dishes. And then they cure themselves as the more, so you don't use soap on them. You just wash them with water and let their grease and oils from whatever you cook and them cure the pan. Anyway, I remember when they demoed it, I was like, oh, I'm going to keep that recipe. So you basically get croissant rolls, Pillsbury, whatever. And instead of breaking it into triangles, you leave them in a rectangle. And you use 2 cans of these things. And you spread butter on the inside. You put cinnamon on the inside. You put sugar on the inside. You roll them up. And then you have these little mini, like, coin-sized cinnamon rolls, and then you, when they're cooled and finished after a marvelous like 13 minutes, you put some powdered sugar icing on them that you just make. And they're always the hit of the party because they're bite-sized, so people think they're not eating very many, and B, they're super yummy. And the big boys always loved them. And I've taken them probably everywhere for breakfast or camping or anywhere that we had a big group.
I have a deep appreciation for this. And two, who were you having brunch with?
Oh, I got invited. One of my girlfriends, this is the group I went to the lake with. It's a bunch of couples. And so they had the brunch at their house. And so I went to their house. And they're funny because they're like, who can we fix you up with? So I entertain that for about 5 minutes and then I drop it. And then, but then they invited another one of the couples invited me to their home again today. So, you know, some of that's a little bit overwhelming too, because I'm like,
I was just going to say your social calendar exhausts me just hearing it.
It's not really much of a social calendar. I mean, I'm horrible because they already know. I said, you guys know I'm Houdini, right? I don't do this very well. And so I get done. I mean, I'm there about 3 hours maybe. And then I'm like, okay. And they're like, are you Houdini?
Yeah,
gotta go.
Well, I love that you're going. I mean, I have to force myself to go to those things sometimes, but it's worth it.
I just know that like I said before, sometimes if you keep saying no just because you're not in the mood or you don't want to get ready, that is some of my issue. And yesterday I actually texted my girlfriend and I'm like, so, because I'd been at farmer's market with a cane, right? And a t-shirt and yoga leggings, tennis shoes. And I said, so is this thing casual? And she's like, oh, yeah. And I was like, comfy clothes casual? And she's like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, I'm going just like this. Oh, no. That was a bad choice because A, I was in pain, so I didn't want to change. Right? B, I don't hang out with these people all the time. So I was like, I'm not going to be there very long. I don't have anybody I'm impressing. Right? So I literally, which I would never do. Never. But this is like so funny for me. Left my yoga leggings on because it's a brunch, right? And it's with all these people that I hang out with. And I had a t-shirt on. I mean, it wasn't ugly. I didn't look like I had just finished painting or been out working in the yard. But it wasn't like, oh, I've got my cute little outfit on and I'm showing up at a brunch. Well, I get there and guess how they're all dressed? Cute little outfit on like they're going to a brunch. And I have my running tennis shoes on and yoga pants and a t-shirt and no makeup on top of that. So I was like, and probably in my past life, I would have been like, oh my God, I'm mortified. I was like, okay, hey, I'm here.
I think you need like a floral pantsuit to match your walking stick. And that's what you should wear like on the daily.
Yeah. Just like a little jumpsuit, something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was just... So that was a first for me as well.
Wow.
I can't believe you just did that. And I'm like, well, I was there. I had a shower. So I had kind of fixed my hair. I just didn't have the full makeup on or the cute little outfit like all the other girls had on.
That's okay. You showed up in the way that you could.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I laughed at myself and I'm like, wow. You guys, you look so cute.
Well, it's also, no, that's a good point, though, that you were able to be, oh, you look really cute. Good for you.
Yeah. Oh, of course, I would do that.
Right? No, but as opposed to being like, wow, I'm a mess, and being all like shamey and judgy on yourself, because that's super easy to do. It was a genuine, oh, you look really cute.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah. Well, normally I would be all shamey and judgy on myself. But I was just like, I don't have it. I don't, yeah. I mean, I just don't have that energy and I don't have that physical, emotional ability.
Yeah. Capacity.
Yeah. So I didn't want to boohoo about it either. I mean, I'm not like, oh, and then people were like, oh, I'm not going to be hanging out with that person. There's total down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. Stay tuned. We'll see how it goes and we'll keep moving forward and literally step by step.
Step by step. Well, I'm so thankful we got to talk today.
Me too. Thanks for actually prompted me to think about what I'm going to do to have fun and celebrate before I do my surgery, just so it's not so scary for my son. I think it's another good thing to just put back there in my brain to think about.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a good one. We'll see you soon.
You too. Okay. Bye.